And as countries around the world tackle coronavirus, we're going to spend a few minutes now talking about what's working. Cases have declined in Hubei province, China, where the pandemic originated. Chinese authorities now say that they will lift a lockdown on most of the region and loosen some restrictions in Wuhan. The World Health Organization has also praised the efforts of some of China's neighbors. Here's WHO head of emergencies Mike Ryan at a press conference yesterday.
We've seen examples in places like Singapore and Korea where governments haven't had to shut everything down. They've been able to make tactical decisions regarding schools, tactical decisions regarding movements, and been able to move forward without some of the draconian measures.
Joining us now is NPR's global health and development correspondent Jason Beaubien. Jason, you were in Hong Kong last month. It is obviously right next to mainland China, but just a few hundred cases total. How did Hong Kong have such success in addressing this crisis?
By doing it very aggressively, testing extensively, using travel restrictions, using quarantines, but jumping on this very early. On December 31st of 2019, Hong Kong sent out a memo to all of its doctors at its hospitals telling them to be on the lookout for patients with fever and acute respiratory illness or pneumonia, shortness of breath, and particularly anyone at that point with travel to Wuhan. But probably most important than any other factor was that if someone tests positive in Hong Kong, the health authorities chase down every single close contact that they can find, and they put them into 14 days of quarantine. They publicize each case. They call on people who may have had contact with, say, this particular taxi driver or this shop clerk or this Buddhist temple. Come forward, get screened. At one point in February, they had 12,000 people in quarantine, despite only reporting a couple of new cases every day. And by doing this, Hong Kong sort of built this protective ring around each case and didn't get much onward transmission.
Although there is worry that they may have let down the guard too soon because they have just tightened measures again, right?
That's right. They have seen a surge in cases recently, but it's, basically anyone who's coming in at the moment is going to go into 14 days of quarantine or they're just barred from coming in. So they really have sort of locked things down just recently. They also blocked the sale of alcohol in bars and restaurants, saying that they don't want people to be losing their inhibition and doing things that they shouldn't. But it's important to point out that this recent surge of cases in Hong Kong has not been from community spread. The recent surge has primarily been among travelers, mostly coming from Europe, coming back into Hong Kong.
Which is something similar we're hearing in China, that the new cases end up being people coming in from the outside, not community spread. What about South Korea, which has gotten so many accolades from global health officials? They've been able to keep businesses open in many cases. What explains their success?
You know, it's interesting. Similar techniques in Hong Kong and Singapore to what's going on in South Korea. We should note, however, that South Korea does have more than 9,000 cases, so that fairly large outbreak there, but very aggressive in tracking cases, isolating contacts. They also have been using big data. They've been tracking people's cell phones and credit card purchases to see who they came in contact with. They've been using surveillance camera data to see where people are moving. You know, some of these techniques would certainly raise eyebrows and concerns among civil libertarians in the U.S. However, this has sort of been the trade-off, right? Their restaurants, their factories, they're still open. In Singapore, the schools are have stayed open. And one other thing that links these three countries together, Hong Kong, Singapore, and South Korea, is that they've all dealt with coronavirus outbreaks in the past. Hong Kong and Singapore, it was SARS in 2003. South Korea, it was MERS in 2015. So they were aware of how bad these things could be.
And what about Japan? We heard today from the International Olympic Committee that the Tokyo Summer Olympics are being postponed for a year. This is a reversal from what the Japanese government had been insisting for weeks about the games. How has Japan done in dealing with coronavirus?
So Japan is interesting. They have just over 1,000 cases. And again, you know, that's relatively low to many of the European countries. Definitely, I mean, New York is above 20,000 at this point, just for New York. Japan has managed to keep, as they say, the curve flat. They got a lot of cases in February around that same time as the Diamond Princess cruise ship was quarantined in Yokohama. There were some people who were working on that quarantine that ended up in sort of seeding some clusters in Japan. But, you know, they haven't done as much testing as Hong Kong or South Korea, but they have aggressively gone after clusters whenever they've gotten them.
You know, it sounds, Jason, like the answer in all three cases is data, testing, data, know the information, and that helps.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that some people might look at it and go, we can't in the United States do what they have done in these other Asian countries. But there are states in the United States that are in that position that still have mm-hmm. low numbers of cases and still at this point are starting to get the testing so that they can get that data and do this similar model to what's happened over there.
That is NPR health correspondent Jason Beaubien. And Jason, thank you.
You're welcome.